Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
I'm glad that I can be here with you this morning. One thing, I need to ask you for accepting this. I need to wear a mask because I have no problem, but Yvonne has got COVID. So just play safe. I use the mask when I speak. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much because you are the King of the universe. You are the King of all people who believe in you. And it's such a good message, important truth. For those belong to you, Lord, we are loved by you. Lord, this morning as we come before you, we ask you to speak to us with your own words so that we can hear your words, we can know you, and we can be strengthened, can be fed, so that we know how to follow you, to give you glory because you are worthy. We commit our time to you, both the speakers and the listeners. You anoint my mouth and our ears so that we can hear you all together. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we are going to continue with Mark chapter 9. 2 months ago, we looked at Mark chapter 9, verse 30 to 37. This is the first of the few messages I am going to look at with you from Mark 9 this year. Last time, Mark chapter 9, verse 30 to 37, talk about what is true greatness. True greatness is not having a well-recognized position with a lot of power and ability. True greatness, last time we mentioned, is to be the last of all and servant of all. The last of all for the need to be served, and be the servant of all for others' need. Like Jesus, our great Savior, he came not be served, but to serve. He said in Mark chapter 10. He encourages his followers to serve like himself by concluding Mark chapter 9, verse 37 on the screen, saying, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." That concluding verse we looked at last time encourages to receive little insignificant ones, because doing that, it is actually receiving the great God caring for them. This is one example of true greatness. Today, let us continue with Mark chapter 9, verse 38 to 42. How about we read it together? Let us start. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him, because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able to soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it will be better for him if the great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea." Last time I gave Mark chapter 9, verse 30 to 37 a theme. What is true greatness? This time I would like to give the above scripture a theme. What is in Jesus' name and its implications? what is in Jesus' name and its implication. So when we look at this scripture, there's a few places talk about in his name, in my name, in Christ's name. We'll look at that later. I would like to speak on this theme, what is in Jesus' name and its implications in three main points. The first one, the name of Jesus defines the scope of fellowship and co-working, which is in verse 38 to 40. From verse 41, we would like to look at the second point. Even small service to those belong to Jesus in his name will surely receive rewards. The third point, stumbling. Those little ones believing in Christ will cause severe punishment, which is from verse 42. In other words, verse 38 to 40 talks about the importance of Jesus' name, which defines the scope of fellowship and co-working. Verse 41 to 42 talks about the implication of in Jesus' name. Verse 41 talks about the positive implication of in Jesus' name. That small service to those belonging to Jesus in his name will receive reward. Verse 42 talks about a negative implication of in Jesus' name. That stumbling those little ones believing in Christ will cause severe punishment. Let us look at the first main point. The name of Jesus defines the scope of fellowship and co-working from verse 38 to 40. The highlighted one. Okay. We look at verse 38 first. Verse 38, John said to him, Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. John heard Jesus previously in verse 37, saying receiving a child in his name is receiving Jesus. And also means that receiving the one who sent Jesus, who is God the Father. After hearing that, John remembered of his forbidding another person casting out demons in the name of Jesus. He sensed that he might have done something wrong. Because verse 37, Jesus regarded in his name to be a very valuable and important thing. The person casting out demons in the name of Jesus might be associated with the 70 disciples sent out by Jesus after the 12 disciples were chosen in Luke and Matthew. But they might not be currently accompany Jesus with the 12 disciples closely. This person might also be a former disciple of John the Baptist before his death. He listening to his master John the Baptist to believe in Jesus' name. No matter what, John and other disciples told the person to stop while he was casting out demons and people were delivered just because he was not following them. We can see here, not only John and the disciples were competing with one another, who is the greatest among themselves. Last time we talked about this. They are also trying to keep the privilege of serving Jesus to themselves, exclusive from other people, other so-called outsiders. Both of the above are demonstrations of a selfish ambition from the sinfulness and self-centeredness and pride. Originally, they forbid other people to serve God just because they are not following them. After learning from what Jesus said in verse 37, John now wonder whether the person would be accepted by Jesus because he's doing things in Jesus' name, even though the person was not with them physically. That's why John told Jesus the incident and expected Jesus to clarify his confusion on this matter. In verse 39, Jesus replied, but Jesus said, do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Does work in my name. What does it mean by doing something in Jesus' name? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul said, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Doing something in Jesus' name. It means that doing under Jesus' authority, by his power, for his glory. It means that doing it as though Jesus is doing it. In Jesus' name, it doesn't mean that only saying the words in Jesus' name or how we say it out. But more importantly, is how our heart condition and our outward deeds, our action. For example, in Acts chapter 19, verse 13 to 16, it recorded like that. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. In verse 15, continue. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. From this example, we see that on one hand, the seven sons of the high priest Sceva said out the words in Jesus' name. He claimed the name of Jesus. On the other hand, there were no real power and good fruits can be found from them. The consequence is that they failed to cast out demons, but shamed themselves instead. This is an example of saying in Jesus' name out verbally, outwardly, but not in Jesus' name, in reality, in the heart. Another example, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 23. Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from them from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruits, but the diseased tree bears bad fruits. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. And then Jesus continues in 21, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, Did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. From here, another example. Sing outwardly in Jesus' name, without good fruits, proves that, shows that it is not really in Jesus' name. So how can we know a person, whether he or she is believing in Jesus' name? Not by what he says in the mouth, in Jesus' name, but by the fruits he or she bears. Jesus said, whether the person bear good fruits or bad fruits, does he have a heart of repentance or shamefulness after sinning? Does she desire to know and follow the Lord? The name of Jesus is important because we can only be saved by Jesus' name, but no other name. As Peter said in Acts chapter 4, verse 11 to 12, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must save. Have you been saved by believing in the name of Jesus? Are you willing to believe Jesus' blood can forgive your sins and cleanse you to receive Him as your Savior? Are you willing to believe and receive Jesus as your King to follow Him? If you are willing, then make a decision to believe in His name, to commit to follow Him today. You will be saved today by His name. For everyone who believes in the Lord will forgive their sins and give new life to this person by the new life and the help of the Holy Spirit. This person can start to grow to follow the Lord, not by his own strength, but by God's grace. Now let us go back to John's puzzle, his confusion, and how Jesus replied him. Because the person is casting out demons in Jesus' name, Jesus said to John that he and his and the disciples shouldn't have stopped that person. How do we know that the person was casting out demons in the name of Jesus? By seeing the good fruits of the work of casting out demons. That is the deliverance experienced by the people he cast out demons from. When both in Jesus' name expressed in words and the good fruits demonstrated in action, we know that that person indeed believes and works in Jesus' name. Therefore, Jesus said to the disciples, including John, that do not stop him. You and him are together. Both of you are believing and serving in my name. So, we know that from these few verses, the real in Jesus' name defines the scope of fellowship and co-working. And Jesus continues in verse 40 saying, For the one who is not against us is for us. That means if you are not against Jesus, then you are for Jesus. In other words, if you are not for Jesus, then you are against Jesus. Therefore, in Jesus' eyes, there is no neutrality to him. You can only be either for Jesus or against Jesus. He is not someone you can avoid or ignore or think irrelevant. You can't avoid the decision of your attitude towards him. Either you make a choice to be against him or for him. You can't be undecided. If you don't make a choice, you have already made a choice. That is the choice not to choose him to be for him. Not to choose to be for him. Then you are actually against him. You can't be stepping on two boats with 2 feet, one on each boat, the against him boat and the for him boat. You can't be sitting on the fence. If so, you have already making a choice not to choose him, which means you are against him. Hope that no one is making a choice to be against him or tarrying making a choice to be for him. Rather, I hope that you can soon making a choice to believe in his, in the name of Jesus, so that you can belong to him and be on the same boat as Jesus, on the for him boat. John and the disciples, they categorize people inside or outside the for him boat by whether people are together with them or not. To people not with them, they will say, you're outsiders. Only we are insiders. However, Jesus considers the insiders and outsiders not by whether they are with them or not, but by only whether people are believing in his name and serving in his name. In other words, only the name of Jesus can define the circle of fellowship or co-working, but not other criteria. Therefore, if you are a Christian, not only you should have fellowship with brother and sister in our church community, you can also have fellowship with other people who genuinely believe in the name of Jesus, because they are also belonging to Jesus in the for Jesus boat, same as us. Not only you can serve together with brother and sister in our church community, but also you can serve with other people who genuinely believe in the name of Jesus, serving in Jesus' name. Because they, same as us, belong to Jesus and his universal church, disregarding their ethnic background, their languages, dialects, cultures, and social background. At school or at work, are there any genuine Christians? Are there any colleagues or schoolmates believing in Jesus' name, bearing good fruits, showing that they are genuine Christians? If so, you can have fellowship with them and help one another to witness Jesus in your workplace and school. After looking at the first point, that only the name of Jesus can define the scope of fellowship or co-working, but not other criteria, let us continue to the second point. Even small service to those following Jesus in his name will surely receive rewards. Verse 41. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. In the original Greek, there are words in Christ's name not shown in the English translation. So I put a bracket there. Including these words, this verse could be translated as what's shown on the screen. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in Christ's name, because you belong to Christ, will by no means lose his reward. This verse is actually a continuation of verse 37, which we looked last time. Both verses talk about the significance of receiving and serving other people in Jesus' name. In the middle, verse 38 to 40, we just looked at, it's about a sidetrack query initiated by John about how to build other people's ministry in the name of Jesus. So actually, verse 37 and verse 41 are connected. Verse 37 said, receiving a child in Jesus' name is in fact receiving Jesus and also receiving God the Father. In verse 41 said, serving disciples in Christ's name will surely receive reward from God. We don't regard a cup of water itself in verse 41 is a big thing, do we? But even for this small service, Jesus said there must be reward for that. Why? Not because the cup of water is important, but the disciples are important in Jesus' eyes. His disciples are those believing in his name and following him as king. They belong to Jesus. A small service done in Jesus' name to people who belong to Jesus and treasured by Jesus guarantees the reward. From the assurance of the reward, we can see how important and precious the disciples are in the eyes of Jesus. Verse 41 tells us two important things. Firstly, those who believing in Jesus' name is a very blessed and honorable person. Not because they are worthy, but because they belong to and treasured by a glorious and powerful Messiah King Jesus. Imagine there was a great emperor of a great kingdom. He has a child who was going for a long journey with a servant sent by the emperor. And the emperor declared to all his people, whoever does good deeds, small or big, to my traveling child will be recorded by my servant and rewarded by me. This child is so precious and important in the emperor's eyes, such that he rewards all the good deeds done to his child. Hope that you can become a child of God, belonging to and treasured by him as soon as possible. Secondly, this verse told us that the Messiah King, Jesus, officially declared the assurance of rewards to all his people who are good to those who belong to him. Even just a little service, such as giving a cup of water, doing in the name of Jesus, you cannot lose your reward. In the past, our church had a few couples growth group. We share about our experience in growing, or learning to be a better husband or wife before God, for God's glory. So we have some regular meeting on those groups. One time, Brother Long Mao shared how he learned to serve his wife, Jane. He told us that Jane didn't like to drink water or having a habit of drinking very little water. This was bad for her health. So Long Mao loved his wife and thought of different ways to encourage her to drink more water, but couldn't change her habit. Eventually, he found an effective way. He no longer verbally encouraged Jane to drink more water. He started to frequently fill up a cup of water with water and bring it to Jane for her to drink before him. This way it works. Jane sees her husband's care behind the cup of water and drink it. Not because of liking to drink, but because of his irresistible act of love. We say, well done, Long Mao. Since Jane is a Christian, belong to Christ, all these numerous cups of water serving in Jesus' name by the love of God for the glory of God, for desiring to be a husband pleasing God, will surely bring numerous rewards to Long Mao. Have you thought about doing something good to your Christian brother and sister? Will bring rewards from the Lord? I'm not sure in what form the rewards are to Long Mao, but I believe at least each time this act of love seen by the children will help the children to see the love between mom and dad sprung from the love of God, which can draw the children's heart more towards God and his love. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people, including family members and children, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So the above is only one of the numerous examples husband and wives can do good to one another, serving one another in the name of Jesus, for Jesus' sake. All good deeds and services we do in the name of Jesus to our fellow Christians, such as Christian spouse, or our Christian parents, our Christian children, our Christian schoolmates, our Christian colleagues at work, and our Christian brothers and sisters at church, will be remembered and rewarded by God. Even small things like a cup of water, when you give it to your Christian father for Jesus' sake, you will never lose your reward. Or the intercession for your Christian mother, for her on her particular need, in Jesus' name, God will reward. Or recently, my newly believed elderly brother encouraged his Christian colleague who was stressed about work, his current work. My elderly brother said to him, "Sometimes when we ask God for wisdom, he gave us hardship." His Christian colleague was encouraged. He said to my elderly brother, "You light up my day." So just a few words of encouragement to Christian colleague For Jesus' sake, God will remember and reward. Why? Because what you do to your Christian father or mother or Christian colleague, you are doing to Jesus himself. Because Jesus sees everyone belong to him, being part of him. He treasures very much. Sometimes we may need to sacrifice or suffer or even being misunderstood in the process of those services to our fellow Christians in the name of Jesus. But we should know that all these good deeds and works we give to our fellow Christian will be pleasing to Jesus. Not only pleasing to him, but also will be remembered and be rewarded from him. May this verse 41 change our view on the value of the serving brothers and sisters in church, including children ministry, those ministry people don't usually pay attention to, or serving family members, or care for Christian friends. So after looking at the second point, the positive implication of in Jesus' name, which is the reward for serving other fellow Christians, let's now look at the negative implication in Jesus' name from verse 42, which is causing little ones believing in Christ to sin will receive severe punishment. Verse 42. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. A millstone hanging around the neck was a familiar punishment or judgment in Jesus' day. It is a scary way of death or punishment. Immersed in the water by the gravity of a big millstone and suffocated to death underwater. This is a severe punishment. But Jesus used this picture to demonstrate how severe in Jesus' eyes for someone causing little ones believing in him to sin. Those believing in Jesus are belonging to Jesus. Jesus treasures everyone believing in him, belonging to him, big or small, young and old. He cares for them so much, especially their spiritual well-being. Jesus takes it very seriously if anyone causes them to stumble, to sin, to be disadvantaged spiritually. Why Jesus especially mentioned of the little ones? Because the little ones are more vulnerable. Because the context is that the disciples argue about who is the greatest? Who has the greater authority to rule over people? Those who are in authority need to be more carefully with little ones, the more vulnerable ones. Therefore, Jesus wants people to be very careful that don't cause little ones to sin or to weaken their faith in Jesus. The little ones might not refer only to the young in age, but also young in faith, those new believers, those weak in faith. On one hand, in verse 41, Jesus assured us that whoever serving those following him will surely receive reward from God. But on the other hand, in verse 42, Jesus also assures us that whoever causing those belong to him to sin will receive severe punishment from God. So this is a warning in verse 42. We need to watch out on this. For example, do you know lies, even the so-called white lies, from our mouth can stumble children? A family wants to go for holiday earlier than the start of school term break. So a daughter needs to miss the last day of school before break. Then the mother tells the teacher that her daughter is not feeling well and can't go to school in order to go earlier for the family holiday. This is a lie. Not only the mother lies, also causes the daughter to lie. Not only that, the mother is instilling a value system to the daughter that one more day of holiday fun is more important than the integrity to be built in character. This is a stumbling to the daughter, causing the little one to sin. Or another example, the parents want the son to study in an academically reputed school, but they do not live within the catchment area of their school. Then the parents pay money to a friend who lives within the catchment area to borrow their address to enroll to their academic reputed school. This is causing the son to lie. Not only cause him to lie now, but also cause him to lie in the future, thinking getting academic success is more important than honesty as one of Christ-like character. So Christian parents, let us be careful of what we say and live before our children. Be careful not to stumble them. If you did stumble in some other occasions, and if the Holy Spirit convicts you, please repent and ask God for forgiveness by the blood of Jesus. And also go to your children to apologize and ask them to forgive you too, so that you can restore a clean conscience before God and your children, to learn to bring along your children to follow Jesus again. Not only for parents, let us everyone watch out. Don't stumble the little ones. Don't stumble other Christians. Those believing in the name of Jesus, including our parents, our Christian spouse, our Christian colleagues, Christian schoolmates, our brothers and sisters at church. So that we all, by the grace of God, we honor the name of Jesus. We learn to live by the name of Jesus. And we learn to serve in the name of Jesus and avoid stumbling other, those believing in Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your great love
to those who belong to you. Now we thank you for how much you treasure the little ones believing in you. Now we pray that you help us so that we can learn to live and bear fruits for you, to give you glory, and learn to love one another, to serve those belong to you. And help us not to stumble our fellow Christians, so that we can encourage one another to follow you. And we thank you, Lord, you have your precious blood all the time available for us to rely on. So, Lord, we pray that the words we have looked at today be an encouragement, reminder, and direction, so that we can experience and grow in faith on these few verses, so that we can really grow into a person more pleasing and loving you, pleasing in your eyes and loving you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.